As we were talking about 2 weeks ago, we were speaking about the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and how important that is to the body of Christ. It's for the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives. And the Lord says, you know, the gifts are yours. Receive, ask, and then grow in the gifts. But all the more, we also talked about how important was is as important these gifts are, is the character of God and the love of God is equally or really even more important, as Paul distinguished from chapters 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 to 13. Now, I want to look at a different passage altogether as far as the gifts that God gives into the body of Christ. And I want to look at the fivefold gifts in Ephesians today, and probably spend a couple weeks here at least. But Ephesians 4, chapter 4, starting in verse 1, is where we want to pick up. So I think we have that, all right? And we're going to use both the ESV and the NIV today because there's just a few things I want to point out with that. But I believe we are going to start in the ESV and read through. And we'll stop and start and kind of have some points to pull out. Okay. So it says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, Paul is speaking, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. I'll stop right there. Paul's speaking to the church at Ephesus, but he's also speaking to us today, the church at large. And he's urging the church, and you can hear what he's saying to the church in this first part of chapter 4. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus on what to do. And first of all, he starts and says, I'm urging you to live in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been given. Live in a manner worthy. So this is where he wants to start. And he says that you should do it with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. That love should guide you in that as you bear with one another. You should do so in love. The love of God is agape. Of course, the word there is agape. So it's not just a frivolous human love. It's a God kind of love that is steadfast, forgiving, kind, and it endures. It's an enduring love. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And I believe we've already heard that this morning. How important it is to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of God in us, and to contain and hold together in the bond of peace, that the bond of peace would hold us in this unity. This is so crucial. This is what he really wants to establish first and foremost. Then he speaks to the oneness that we all have, that every one of us has this in common. He says that we are one body. And we all have been brought together by the one Spirit of God. We have one hope. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is above all, in all, through all. I mean, he doesn't leave anything uncovered here. He's saying the God of everything is you, and we all share, and we are in him. This is where we find our unity, that we're all led by the one Spirit. So the message is clear. The message is clear that unity is very crucial. It's key. If we don't start with that foundation, then we're really missing something altogether. So there's a strong word here that Paul wants to give to pull the body of Christ together, that we are one in God. And we should do everything in a manner that's humble, with humility, to maintain this identity of who we are in the body of Christ. It's very important. And we find this in our oneness. So obviously there's a reason that Paul is working very hard to establish this, to lay out this crucial foundation. Because in verse 7, he has a little shift. There's a little shift in verse 7. And if we look at verse 7, and we'll just go there, it says, but. That just indicates right there that he's going to have a little shift here. I think it's the CSB that says it is however. So either translation would be however or but. And so we see, since that this is where we're going to shift a little bit, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. I'm going to stop there. And we'll go back. So let's go back to verse 7. So he's getting into the gifts. He's talking about the gifts. But he does lead up, and where everything he does leading up to that is very important. In verse 7, he says this, but grace was given, right, to each one of us. And this word grace is the Greek word charis, or somebody say charis. But charis refers to the favor or kindness of God. It's the favor or kindness of God towards us. So think about that, that God is giving his grace, or you could say his favor to each one of us, a blessing of God towards us. And it's a favor that acts to bless and benefit the recipients, right? The whole intention is to bless the recipients. So that's God's desire towards you and towards me. Of course, that says, do you desire the blessings of God? Desire the grace, the favor of God? We should. We should ask for God's kindness and favor in our lives because he desires to give it. And one way Jesus has given us grace is through the gifts, to his body. As we read, it says, grace has been given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, this word also, gift, is used in other places in the New Testament too. We see in Corinthians, he talks about, in the Gospels, he talks about the giving of the gifts. It's like if you know how to give good gifts to your children, all the more, how much does the Father in heaven give good gifts, giving the Holy Spirit? So we know that the Father is a gift giver. He loves to give gifts to his children. And when he has given these gifts to the body of Christ, it's the grace of God that's been measured out to the body of Christ, giving the gifts. And that's what the Bible says. It says that he has measured it out. He's given it unto the body, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, or also we can say pastors, and teachers working together in order to build up the people of God. In verse 7, it also says that he says he measures out and apportions these gifts. The gifts are good, and that he's measured it out. And in fact, in NIV says Christ apportions the gifts. The CEV says that Christ has generously divided out his gifts to us. He gives the gifts according to his measurement. But we should take careful note, because I think that's why Paul spent so much time in the first 6 verses talking about unity, talking about the bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit, the oneness that we have. I think it's very important, and there's a reason there. Because not all will receive the same gift. Not all will receive the same measure. But it's for the body of Christ. But not all will receive in the same amount or the same way. And if we're not careful, there's a place here for comparison. There's a place here for jealousy or envy, which does happen in the body of Christ. There's a place even for hierarchy and separation, if not careful, which has happened in the body of Christ based on gifting. So I think it's very important that Paul lays a foundation of humility and oneness, that we have to have that even as we approach the gifts, because in some ways he's kind of carefully approaching the gifts. Because we know through Paul, the gifts are very important. They're very important to the body of Christ. But approaching them with the right attitude and the right heart. Because, you know, Paul wants the body of Christ to avoid what he calls in 2 Corinthians as super apostles. He mentions it very directly. He says, I'm not one of those super apostles that you so laud and so are so excited about. That really, he says, lord it over you. They lord it over you as you owe them something for their superness, I guess you could say. But he speaks of this about, you know, he's not one of those. He's not coming and being amazingly impressive. He's not coming to for his personal gain. And if it's not careful in the body of Christ, people take hold of the gifts and they use it for their personal gain. And we have to be careful about things like super apostles who want to lord it over and creating even a hierarchy system, because that's not what the gifts were for. The gifts were not for that. Paul wants us to approach the gifts of Christ with humility, focusing on the oneness and yet realizing the uniqueness of each gift and their workings and their importance. So let's look at the workings of these gifts. What is their purpose? What is central to the purpose of these gifts? We can pick up back in verse 11, and this time we're going to look at the NIV, because the NIV translates one of these differently. So it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, as ESV said, shepherds. NIV translate it as pastors, and I'm gonna come back to that later. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's a reason for these gifts. There's a reason why Christ has put these gifts into the body as he measures, as he has decided. Some people call this the fivefold gifting. Some people have different names for it. Or some people call it the fivefold office. I'm going to focus on the word gifting, because that's what I feel like the scripture tells us. This is a gift. It's literally a gift of God. It's a gift of Christ. And it's the workings of Christ in the body for the maturing of the body. So the purpose here is to equip the saints and build up the body, to equip all for the work of ministry. You see, it's a mistake to think that if you have these gifts in whatever measure, that you have the ministry of Christ. But yet this ministry is supposed to equip the whole body, all to serve, all to minister. And I think that's very important that we say, wait a minute. The evangelist who comes, say Andre last week, the evangelist comes, he's not the one who does all the evangelism, right? He actually is called as an evangelist to evangelize, but now he's also called to equip the body of Christ to evangelize, which was very much what he was doing last week, to say, you can do it. You can share your testimony. You can build conversations with people. You can do it. Evangelism is not just for the evangelist. The person who's mature in that gifting that God has given them and that placement of going and the heart to go out and evangelize, but saying, wait, you also are to evangelize. So we have this, we see, we honor Andre as an evangelist, but he says, wait a minute. He's also gifted to equip us, to equip the saints, and we're to go and do the work of evangelism. So we would make a mistake to believe that only evangelists evangelize. So these fivefold giftings are to mature the body. And so we are to mature. We're to mature in sharing our testimony. As simple as that. And the fivefold giftings are to help the body of Christ to stand strong in Christ. To not lose your moorings, to not lose your footing, but to stand strong in Him. As verse 14 continues Paul's focus about these gifts and what they are to do to equip the body, it says that we will no longer be infants. So the people, the body of Christ, equipped, maturing in the knowledge of God, in the Lord, that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the or wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So you won't be thrown off by false teaching or by things in this world that seem to be good, but they're not good, because we know what is good. We know what's good in the Word. We know Christ. We have the knowledge of Christ. We're not deceived. We're not easily deceived by the wiles of the enemy, the things that the enemy wants to throw at us. So the gifts that God gives, that Christ is giving into the body, help the body stand strong. This is why, again, loner Christianity doesn't work. Loner Christianity is weak Christianity, because loner Christianity doesn't have the benefits of the gifts in their fullness. I mean, you can watch teaching and you can watch things on TV or on YouTube or whatnot, and that's good. You can read the Word for yourself, but you're missing the gifts in the fullness. Lunar Christianity is not ever been God's design. We're not to stand alone. See, the gifts are the work of Christ to draw people to Christ, to build them up in the knowledge of Christ, to build unity in the church, in the body of Christ, to root people of the ecclesia of God, the people of God, to root them in Christ, to root us in Him. If we look at a very short version, and this is really a short version, to go through the gifts as follows, I would like to do it actually more thoroughly in next week. But if we look at the apostles, literally what it means is they're sent ones. They are sent ones. That's what the word means, apostolos in Greek, to be sent out, to be sent ones. Sent ones to build the kingdom all over the world. They're kingdom builders that God has designed and given to the body of Christ. We could talk more thoroughly about that. We look at the prophets carry the mysteries of God. They're messengers of God. They hear the words of God and they give forth the words of God. Now and for future. The evangelists, well, we know the evangelists, they carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Wherever they go, that's where their heart beats. They want to share Christ. They want to share Jesus. And then the pastors are the shepherds. They care for the flock. They care for and protect the flock. They nurture. They have that nurturing desire. And then we have the teachers who instruct people in the Word, instruct the church in the Word to know the Word of God, to know the truth, to be able to discern what is true and what is not true according to God's Word. So we have this fivefold gifting. And if we understand, if someone is to be an apostle, they are to be Christ's apostle, to build Christ's kingdom, not their own. It's very crucial. If they're to be a teacher in the body, then they are to be Christ's teacher, to teach His word, not theirs. Christ's truth, and not to distort it. Even the Bible says there's a great judgment on those who distort the word of God, who distort and have changed and alter the true message of Christ. These gifts all function for Christ's purpose. And it's not for people to make a name for themselves. This is so crucial. It's not for people to gather a following unto themselves. This is where we start seeing people who are operating in falsely in the gift. Maybe they were given the gift, but they're using it for false means. These gifts are given to build up the ecclesia. They're not titles. They're not titles. And this is important. They're not paid ministry positions. Well, you may call me a pastor, and that may be a title, but that can sometimes be misunderstood, right? Because it's almost better to understand it as a shepherd, as truly the word we're going to talk about, the word should be translated probably as shepherd and not pastor. In fact, that's the only place in the Bible in some of the translations that you ever see pastor in all of the Bible, in fact. Nobody's even named pastor in the Bible. That doesn't even exist. They're shepherds. And so the one place where we see shepherd translated as pastor is Ephesians 4. It's the only place. We'll mention that again, but it's not a title. It's not a position in a church. So we want to make sure we don't mistake in that. But there are gifts that are God's favor and blessing to the people of God. So obviously it means, because it's not a title and it's not a position, that people in the church can have these giftings. You know, we can have prophets in the church that don't have a position in a church, don't have a title, don't have a paid ministry. We have teachers in the church that are not on staff, right? And there's, of course, we recognize giftings in the church and their different facets. But it's also important that everything, again, is for Christ, is unto him, and that we never use the gifts for ourselves, to bring attention or claim to ourselves. Now, there's some churches that don't believe in all the five giftings. We do. We say it in our beliefs. If you go onto our website and you look at our beliefs, things that we believe in, it's there. It says we believe in the fivefold giftings that Christ has given to the church. Not every church believes in that. Some churches believe that some of the gifts passed away, but I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see where it says that the gifts of Christ, that when he ascended up into heaven, he says he gave the gifts to the church to really do the work that he was doing. Represent all these gifts represent Christ and his work on the earth today. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible it says where any of those works ceased or stopped. So we don't believe that. We believe all five are in effect. And in fact, we look to Christ as the true measure of all these. Because, again, it says all authority in heaven and earth was given to Christ, was given to him, and he established the working of God for the whole earth to know salvation, and he's using these gifts throughout the whole world to do his work on the earth. If we look at this, we look at Christ as our example, then we understand that if we look at the apostle, we understand that Christ was the perfect apostle. He was the perfect apostle sent by the Father to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, to establish his kingdom. Jesus was the perfect prophet, carrying the mysteries of heaven and revealing them on earth and showing forth the mysteries that have been waiting to be revealed and people longing to see. He was the perfect evangelist, spreading the good news of the now kingdom, the here and now kingdom that he was ushering in. He was also the perfect shepherd pastor. Truly, even what we claim today, he's the great shepherd, as the Bible talks about. He is the great shepherd. And he was the perfect teacher and rabbi, the word made flesh, revealing God's word and teaching us as one who taught with authority. So if we are to understand any of these gifts, we look to Christ. He's the perfect example. And yet, as he ascended into heaven, he gave the gifts. And he prepared the disciples to go and to do the work and the ministry and wherever they go, to build churches, to build leaders, to spread the gospel, and to impart the work of Christ to others. So we have this work today. We have this work for us today. And I think it's very important that we have a relationship with all five of these gifts, because we don't all contain it. So you may have the teacher, and you may have the evangelist, or you may have the pastor or the shepherd, but we need to have connection and relationship with all five. It's for the body, the strengthening and the health of the body. And so I think when Scripture says, it says we shouldn't limit, but we should open the door and say, Lord, how are we to be in relationship with? And I believe the Lord does call us to that, to be in relationship. Because again, it's not a position that you can just hire, right? You can't just hire an apostle. I mean, I guess you could. I mean, you could recognize somebody, you could bring them in. But if you take someone like Bill Johnson, he doesn't recognize himself. I mean, he just says, just call me Bill. That's what he says. He says, well, what do you think, Bill? Are you this or are you that? And he's like, well, people say this and say that. I mean, he has a title, pastor, right? Senior pastor of Bethel Church. And when he came to Bethel, he was a pastor. He was a local church pastor. But the Lord had a vision, a kingdom vision. And that church came into revival, and that kingdom vision grew. And really, his calling grew as well. You don't pay for that. You grow into what Christ has called you into, the vision that he's given, and he walked out that vision in relationship with God, in relationship with Christ. So yes, people today would say, Bill's an apostle. But he would never claim that title, because it's not a title. It's a function. And if we look at the gifts, we really need to say it's the act of, it's the functioning of, right? And so we have to stop and say, if anybody is a self-proclaimed apostle or self-proclaimed prophet, we have to be careful. Because if it's not recognized the functioning of in the church, that this gift is truly a functioning of Christ, this person's relationship with God, functioning through them, and recognized in the church, then we have to stop and say, wait a minute, hold on. Be careful about the self-proclaimed. It's not a title. It's a working of Christ in the body. And of course, why so many people say someone like Bill is an apostle? It's because the work that he does. It's not just Bethel, right? If it was just a local church, we would say, okay, he's a local church pastor. But the ministry of Bethel has gone, it's affecting internationally. It's building the kingdom internationally. People come and get trained, and they leave, and they go back. And people from all over the world are coming. They have a international music ministry. They have arts ministry. They have, you know, these multiple ministries. They've planted other churches out of their church. It's something that has affected a much larger sphere. It's a kingdom-building ministry that God has entrusted into their hands. So we recognize there's a gifting and a working. That's just one example. And we're going to talk about more examples. But I just want us to think about these gifts in a way that all the gifts should bring unity in the body of Christ, should bring the working of Christ. If we don't see Christ in it and it becomes man-centered, there's a problem. There's a problem. And we just say, stop, wait a minute. And even good people who start out in a good way can go and get an error. And that's why we'd never do it alone. We don't do it alone. We help each other. But we help each other grow and stay on target with where Christ wants us to be, utilizing the gifts in the body, growing in the gifts, growing in the things that the Lord has imparted to us. So there's more to say. There's a lot to say about the gifts. But let God grow us in this fivefold. That's why I'm praying. I said one of my prayers is that, Lord, may we be a church that truly is fivefold. I mean, we believe it, but then we're activated in that. And part of that means we're a church that's not just the people here in the seats today, but we're a church that connects with the church universal in a larger way. God's kingdom church, kingdom growing church that's in the world today. And I think it's a blessing, for instance, having the evangelist here last week from another country that we support and helping us to evangelize. So that kind of thing is very important because we have to connect with the church at large. And we have to say, okay, Lord, yes, here that we're connected with, we're networked with, and that we're doing work of the ministry outside these walls as well. We're joining with and a part of your greater work. So that's so significant with what God does in here, but then what God wants to do outside of these walls. So Lord, continue to show us, right? Continue to show us how we're to live this out and to see the manifestation of all the gifts that you gave to the church. And that's why I kind of want to stop at this point today, and we'll pick up next week. But that's also my prayer. That's my prayer this morning. And I ask, too, that the Lord would continue to reveal how this works, that we better understand all the workings of Christ in his body and how we're to live that out. Meaning, I don't have all the gifts, you don't have all the gifts, but somewhere along the line in the body of Christ, they're all there. They're all there. And I really do believe to be the church that God calls us to be, we connect and activate and work with all the gifts that Christ has imparted to the church.